76 didn't win the state championship. Don't know how many you lost off of that players. You know, how many you graduated off that 75 team to leave you with a 76 team. Don't know, you know, if things dropped off a little bit in 76 or just had a bad game at the wrong time.
We lost quite a few. I think probably 5 or 6 players I think we lost.
Going into the 76 season.
Right.
So you took an off year from the state championship, but come back in 77. Was it down in Indianapolis then at that point?
Yes.
The second state championship was down at Busch Stadium.
Yes.
In Indianapolis for 77. And that was the year after I graduated. I do remember at least following Berry's baseball at that point. Wasn't out of college yet to be able to broadcast them. But what about the 77 year? Anything in particular that that stands out about that 77 state championship?
Yeah, I was on crutches.
You were?
Yeah.
What did you tear
an
Achilles?
Playing basketball on the south side where you don't call fouls. It's just an autopsy.
Well, that's how you remember 77 anyway. So
the thing I remember about the 77 team was we had some good pitching, of course, but we had the worst record of any of the state championship teams. I think we lost 10 ball games that year. And the reason we lost 10 ball games was that 5 of our starters had injuries and weren't able to play for about half the season.
Mm.
And so we did not have a very good record going into the state tournament. Finally, we got everybody healthy. Then we just kind of breezed through.
So everybody was back then.
Everybody was back
for the tournament.
For the state tournament.
Because I think they were like 24-10 or something like that.
Yeah, we'd lost 10 ball games.
So, but again, that was the first state championship down in Indianapolis at Busch Stadium for 1977. 78, again, I don't know how many you graduated off the 77 team, but 78 took a year off from a state championship. But do you remember how your year went in 78 that could have led you to believe we've still got another one, at least another one left in us here?
Well, again, you know, when you lose players, you know, it takes a little adjustment for new players to step in and learn their roles and be good players. And I think that's the reason that I rationalize.
Well, I think one of the things I remember about Berry's baseball, again, in the heyday, was it seemed like there was always a player, maybe even two, somebody who has just risen up that, you know, a diamond in the rough type deal. It seemed like Berry's baseball teams had that helped lead to their success with somebody maybe you weren't expecting to be as good as what they ended up being.
Well, relevant to your point there, Milt, I know noticed about that time we had won in 75, and I noticed the young kids, because I was around them more, and their parents, there were kids wanting to be Berry baseball players by that time. I want to win a state championship. I want to be part of this thing. And I think that helped both in 77 then in 79 that, geez, we've been there before, and there were kids that really wanted to experience playing the state championship.
Well, something about winning state championships, I guess, sort of lights that fire, doesn't it? So again, then 1979, still at Busch Stadium in Indianapolis. Again, I wasn't out of college yet to be able to broadcast that at that point.
Took you a lot of years to get through college.
Yes. And never did finish. Son of a gun. I finally gave up. But how about that 79 year, that 79 team? Anything that stands out to you? I remember, was that the Don Mattingly year?
Yep.
That you faced Don Mattingly, Evansville.
Yes.
Was it Bossy that he played for? Evansville Memorial. Evansville Memorial.
I was at Beaton Boards last night, just real quickly, let me interject. And I sat across the aisle from a couple who were originally from Evansville, and they were friends with the Mattingly family. And he said, Evansville still doesn't like Logan Sport.
Yep, they were with Don Mattingly, and of course, he was highly acclaimed at that point as a high school baseball player.
Yeah.
And
best high school hitter I ever saw.
And he came in with all the accolades,
right.
And it was Evansville
Plus,
Memorial.
They had many other good ball players.
Well, and I don't know, had they lost more than one or two games?
They were 59-0 going into a state championship game.
Wow.
There were signs all over the stadium, 60-0, 60-0, 60-0. And at the end of the game, bless their hearts, some Logan Sport students came out. I have a picture of them standing on the mound with a big sheet that says 59-1.
So was that the championship game? Was Evansville Memorial the championship
game?
Okay.
Okay. Well, they had 8 returning players. They'd only lost one player from the team the year before. And the year before, of course, they had won the state championship. 78, they won. And lost one player. Hmm. Had almost everybody back. And we were pretty good that year. And we, you know, we thought, you know, in the back of our minds, we thought, boy, we'd like to play this Evansville team, you know, because we think we can do okay against mm-hmm. them. Because we had good pitching that year, and we had some kids who could hit the ball. And it worked out that we did. And the thing I remember, a couple of things about that game stick out in my mind, the memory that I have. One thing was Mattingly hit a long fly ball almost out of the range of the lights in left center. And our left fielder, was he playing left? I think he was playing left field, ran into the shadows and made an over-the-shoulder catch of that ball. That was just a super play. Should I tell him who did that, Butch?
Yeah, go right. Yeah.
That was Brad Platt.
Sophomore.
Made that superior play. And then we made an error. One of our infielders, I won't mention his name, but one of our infielders.
But he also ended up being a hero.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
He let a ground ball go through his legs and let some runs score. They had, I think the bases loaded, 2 outs, and the ground ball went through his legs, and they scored a couple runs and gave them an advantage. And the game was tied in the bottom of the top of the ninth, I guess. I think we were the visiting team. And this same player got the winning hit.
Now you can mention it.
Yeah. And if I remember right, I don't know why I remember anything about going that far back, but I don't know that Mattingly had more than one hit in the game. It seems like at one point I remember 1 for 4, but if it was a 9-inning game, chances are he had more than 4 at-bats. But
We intentionally walked Mattingly once.
Okay.
I don't know why, but there was a runner on first ahead of him. Then he stole second base.
Right. That made our decision pretty.
Right away.
They'd like to have that one back, that decision.
Yeah, so if that kid hadn't stolen second.
I wonder if he did that on his own.
I don't know.
I guess we'll never know. It doesn't make a difference.
It made it pretty easy.
It led to good
Berry's
history.
Standpoint.
Yeah.
Right.
How about your pitching that day and night? Was Barry Boyer?
Well, Eric Sweet started, and Eric was a very good pitcher.
Oh, yeah.
But he was
and
missing.
Shortstop, too, right? Was Eric the shortstop?
No, he played outfield.
Outfield
and pitched. Had a nice overhand curveball and really good control. Eric Harmon was the umpire.
Okay.
You know Eric. He was not giving our Eric the borderline pitches. Then I went out to the mound once, and Eric Harmon said, "Coach," he said, "he's just missing by inches." And so Eric Sweet was in trouble, you know, early in the game because he was walking. Batters was not getting those calls.
It wasn't like he was wild. He was just not hitting Eric Harmon's strike zone.
That's right.
Yep.
And of course, Eric is a good umpire. And probably Harmon was not missing him. It was just our pitcher was barely missing him.
He was
just
off by that much.
Right. Anyway, Barry Boyer had pitched well, you know, all during the season, but he had a back problem, so he hadn't pitched of late. But then he was ready to go, so I put him in, and he closed it out. Closed it out, had a really nice game.
And got the win.
Got the win.
Yeah.
Well, in the semi-state, Eric, he didn't walk a batter.
No, he pitched the shutout game, wasn't it? We won that one to nothing.
He pitched a complete game without walking a batter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we won 1-0.
Yeah.
Game.
Well, that was when...
A lot of things happened at home plate in that game.
Describe that, Butch. What happened?
Yeah, Grand Staff hit one down the right field line. The right fielder tried to make a diving catch and missed it, and Grand Staff was a very fast runner. And anyway, he decided he was going to try to make it all the way, and he did, but the catcher was trying to impede his
getting to the plate.
Getting to the plate, and it wasn't very pretty for a while. In fact, some of the stands started to
really?
Yeah.
They were coming onto the field. Meanwhile, the catcher and Grand Staff were shaking hands.
Oh, really? So everybody else was mad. Those two had already made up.
Yeah.
But we had, many years there that we had real good pitching. Mm-hmm. And obviously in baseball, you've got to have good pitching or something. You're going to stumble somewhere along the way.
Well, and I remember also it seemed to be a trademark of Barry's baseball of always having, it seemed like there was always a left-hander. Mm-hmm. There was always a good, real good left-handed pitcher that
we
you had.
We had several good left-hand pitchers. Yeah.
There was always at least one on a team, which helped the cause, and you pick players off, and they'd have a different look that the players may not see, batters may not see a whole lot of. So that seemed to be a trademark of Barry's baseball.
Well, there's a reason for that, Milt. This guy's to my right. I think everybody in Logansport knew it, and 99% of the people around the state of Indiana knew that Jim Turner was the best high school pitching coach any of them had ever encountered.
So before we get to talking about the 91 state championship then, before I get too far away from that pitching, what would you do with pitching, Coach? I mean, when they got to the varsity level, what is it you were working on from the pitcher standpoint? When they get to that point, what in particular would you have to work on?
Review their mechanics, make sure they were throwing the ball correctly, because in the youth leagues, kids just throw the ball and they don't really have enough time to work on their mechanics. Most of them had pretty good mechanics coming up, but I spent a lot of time making sure they threw the ball correctly, and then we work on location. Coach Baldini, Don Baldini, used to lend me a couple of football dummies, the stand-up dummies, and I would put them in the batter's box, and I would teach our kids to throw the ball inside, close to those dummies, and we'd work inside, and then we work away, just in, out, up and down, correct mechanics, and that's what we worked on.
And mechanics would be just, you'd work on that in practice, so that's just a matter of repetition. So when they're in the game, they're not having to think about where their arm position is.
Right.
They've done it so many times.
Over and over.
At that point, that is just automatic. And then once in a while, maybe during the game, you'd have to maybe just go out and remind them if they'd get off kilter a little bit. Let's advance then a few years. From 79 to 91, don't know. It's not like you didn't have any baseball talent, and it could be in there that you just had a bad game at the wrong time.
Well, there were some really good teams through there. Yeah. A couple of them that very likely might have also been state champions, but for some botched play or
the play here,
One team was outstanding but had very little pitching, but otherwise was an excellent defensive and hitting ball team, for example.
And your 1990 team did they go to the state final?
State finals.
Yeah, they were in the final four. Yeah.
89, we were runners up.
Yep. Runners up.
90, so we made the final four, got beat first game.
So three straight years of being at the state finals.
Right.
Were those all at those were all at Busch Stadium still at that point. And then 91. And I'll again ask you if what you remember about 91, either the season or that state championship run. But what I do remember about that season, and I don't know why I would remember this, but I remember I've told it before, that I think we lost a home game to Marion.
Yeah.
That year. And I remember the players calling a players-only meeting down the left field line.
Yeah.
And, no coaches around. They called it themselves. John Crow, Matt Jones, whoever, called this meeting of the team together just as players. And I don't know that they lost after that. I don't remember exactly how the season played out, but I remember that seemed to be a turning point in my mind. Yeah. As a broadcaster, I remember them meeting as a team, just players, and then it seemed like things turned around. So I don't know what had been going on up to that point. I think they must have figured that Marion game was not a game they should have lost. Yeah. But I don't remember if at all losing from that
point.
That
was like 2-1 or 3-2.
It was very close. 3-2, I think it was. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We had, over the years, Milt, and at least some of those years, you were aware of some of those kids, but we had student athletes who were outstanding leaders, team leaders.
Yeah. And it does make a difference.
Oh, you bet it does.
So again, coaches aren't having to talk
and
everything.
And that's one thing I remember about that team. It was an unusual team in that those kids had been playing since they were sophomores. Down the state final, they were state runners up as sophomores. In 90, they got beat the first game. 91 comes along, and at practice, all Butch and I did at practice, really, was throw out the ball. Because their attitude was, hey, don't bother us. They, you know, you could read that in their minds.
We know.
They had a goal, and they had their minds set on winning the whole thing from the very outset. And so that was a very, I don't know how to describe it.
That's I think, a rarity.
Yeah, it really was.
You would have a group that you could count on like that and really not have to coach every move or inspire their every move.
There was nothing we could teach.
At that point,
that was it.
Again, they'd been playing together for three straight years.
Allow them to practice, help them where we could, and let them alone. That's what we did.
And from the day's activities, you guys remember, I think Ryan Conrad hit a long home run.
Very long home run at Bush
Stadium that day or that night. Yeah.
There are still people saying that maybe very well have been the longest high school
home run in that ballpark.
I remember Curl hit one at the 405 mark in left center at Busch Stadium. Landed at the base of the wall. So he hit a long ball. Conrad hit a long ball. And I think, was that the game in which Greg Dykeman went 5-for-5?
I believe you're right.
I think he did.
State record.
He played shortstop for that team.
Yeah, that team, and, you know, when we had a lot of our successful teams, we had kids that had kind of one of those swagger type things. They walked on the field and they were just not going to be denied. You know, they had so much confidence and they hated to lose. And, you know, I contribute that to a lot of our success.
I asked Matt about, you know, maybe the Matt Jones, about the makeup of that team and maybe some players that came to mind from that year. And one he brought up, and we were talking about somebody always stepping up that maybe you weren't expecting, but he brought up Willie Hilton and the fact that he was, 10 or 11 and 0 as a pitcher. Yeah. That year, you know, I don't know that, you know, when you're sitting down penciling out, you know, your starting pitching and figuring out who's going to be your ace and all that, don't know that Willie Hilton before the season or the year before would have come to mind.
Yeah.
But here's a guy who goes 11-0 for the season, and that certainly helps a cause.
Yeah. Willie started coming along toward the end of his junior year, and we knew he had a good arm and was able to locate the ball. And we used him primarily in relief because that year our primary starters were Matt Jones and Greg Correct, two left-handers. And, of course, we also had Bob Harvey. You know, Bob had a good arm.
We had four really good pitchers.
And, of course, Willie was kind of our middle guy. We used him when we had to in relief or to close out a game because both Matt and Greg had
some arm problems in the season.
Mm-hmm. Willie loved that challenge.
Yeah.
Oh, he wanted to be out there.
Yeah. Well, and it again.
And Willie was the type, you know, with the way he was, he could, if you ask him to pitch a doubleheader, he would. Wouldn't even bat an eye. He'd be glad to.
Right. And again, that's what it takes, you know, those type of players to win state championships.
Yeah.
Again, 91, so that completes four state championships. How much longer were you in it after that, Coach?
That was it.
That's what I thought.
Well, you know, Butch had earned the opportunity to be the head coach. And I was getting to that point where, you know, taking care of the field and everything, I was ready to give it up. If I could only stayed around and coached third base.
instead of all the other stuff that goes with the coaching.
Be all right.
Yeah.
But I want to give Butch the opportunity to coach, which he did. And that's one of the reasons I gave it up, because Butch was thinking about giving it up. And I thought, no, let me give it up and you coach a while. So that's we worked that out.
So that started breaking up the team because, Rich, you hung in there for a little while longer. Yeah,
I retired in 94.
Okay. And then, Butch, you took over in 92 then as the head coach.
Right.
And took a team to the state finals.
Right.
It was at the 95?
96.
Heilman senior year.
Yeah.
What was he, 6 or 7?
Yes, those tough questions. Yeah. I was thinking it was 96.
It might have been.
But anyway, I was head coach until 97. 97 was my last year.
What year was the Joness?
02.
Okay.
Yeah, Jim was coaching.
Yeah,
and he had.
Because they also got to the state finals.
State finals.
Joe Nest had developed shoulder problems.
Had a shoulder problem.
At that point.
Right, wasn't able to pitch. Had Lambert and Parkovich. Parky.
Mm-hmm.
Had three pretty good pitchers.
And that might also have been a state champion possibility.
If everything had stayed intact and from an injury standpoint. So, again, the state finals, getting to the state finals was not still uncommon even at that point. Your last state championship was 91, but getting to the state finals still happened again after that. So you're thinking, Butch.
I'm thinking, you know, you talk about some good teams, and we had many, many, many that could have gone all the way.
Yeah.
But one, you know, I'm thinking about 87 when we Mike Farrell had his collarbone.
We had two.
Had it broken, and we were just finishing batting practice. And he was at first base, and we had a little collision, little pop-up going between first and right field, and had his collarbone broken. And then shortly, and he was a real, real good pitcher.
He
ended up with New Orleans, in AAA.
And he was one that we watched develop.
Oh, right.
Because when he first started, there wasn't much pop on his fastball. He was relying mainly on location, but he got stronger as his career wore on, and he still was very accurate, if I remember right. He relied on location.
Oh my gosh.
But he was just deceivingly.
Mm-hmm. He was smart.
Yeah.
Plus, he was a very good hitter. And then shortly after that, we had another player, fourth hitter, Dennis Frye. He, in fact, we were playing Twin Lakes, and we were probably facing maybe the kid that threw the ball as hard as anyone from Twin Lakes, and he ended up getting hit on the hand, and I can still see him coming down there, and I said, Dennis, are you okay? He says, no. And it ended up being a broken bone, so we lost him.
Yeah.
So we lost our third and fourth hitters, and also a very good pitcher, and Dennis was also a very good fielder. So, and you know, that kind of takes the wind out of your sail.
And for
no one
will
convince me that team wasn't a possible
that
state
was
champion.
Well, we had a good number two pitcher as well. We had Ian Porter who went on to pitch some college ball, and he
had Gulf Coast.
He had didn't he develop a knuckleball? I thought Ian might have had
Ian might have thrown almost anything.
Yeah. But going back to Dennis Frye, for a Frye to admit that they're hurt.
Right.
That
yeah.
You know it had to be serious.
Yeah.
Because for any of the Frye boys to admit that something's not right, and they can't compete, and that's you know it's got to be a serious situation.
Mentioning other teams, you know, we had, as Butch said, we had some other very good teams who were capable, just as good as the teams that won the state. And one team was at 88, maybe. We only lost two games.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't win the state championship, but we were certainly good enough. We got beat by Kokomo twice. Once in a doubleheader and once
in the
regional. Yeah, they beat us twice. But we could have won the state with that team. 73, we only lost, I think, three games. You know, we had some very good teams over the years.
And it goes back to, you know, hey, when you win as much as we did, the kids just developed an attitude where if we take the field, there's a very good chance that we're going to win this game. And I'm sure our opponents, when, you know, playing Logansport, I think they felt like, you know, they had to just play to the best of their ability to even be able to be in the game with us.
Oh, I've commented to people over the years that, again, in those golden years of Berry's baseball, I think you guys beat your opponents before the game ever started, just with the warm-up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you watched the Berry's warm-up and how crisp and everything was just, the throws were on target, Neil, and everybody knows exactly where they're supposed to be and covering that base, and if you watched them warm-up, you intimidated your opponent before the game ever started.
That was intentional. That was expected, and the kids bought into that. I remember a scout, Norm Kramer.
Yeah.
No, it was the scout from up in Wisconsin. He was here a number of times.
Dodger scout.
Yeah. And I remember more than once he was here, and he said, there are three places I love to go and watch the team warm up. LaPorte, Lafayette Jeff, and Logansport. He said, because they go out and take infield the right way, and the other team's beat before the game ever starts.
And that was always an emphasis. It started at the JV level. level, of course. And, of course, Butch insisted on kids weren't doing the things that were correctly mm-hmm. done. Butch would say, hey, that's it. Come on, let's mm-hmm. go. He'd call them in. He wouldn't take any more infield. That negative reinforcement.
Yep.
mm-hmm. I do have something. This is kind of a funny story. We have a baseball outing, or yeah, the baseball team from the past. We have a golf outing now, mm-hmm. you know, up at Dyckman. And our one we had this past summer, we meet at the Elks afterwards. So I'm sitting there, and a first baseman from many years ago, and I'm talking about in the late 60s, he comes up to me and sits at the table. He says, Coach, he says, I need to confess something. He said, this has been on my mind for years. And he said, when you used to hit infield, and he was playing first base, he said, you'd hit him so hard, and they'd bounce off of my chest. And he says, I got mad. And he said, there were times when we'd take infield, and of course, I'd have to throw to the catcher, you know, after I, on certain situations, I'd throw to the catcher. And he said, I have to confess, I wasn't trying to throw to the catcher. I was trying to throw and hit you. He said, yeah. So I said, well, I'm glad.
Doesn't say much for his arm, then,
yeah,
does it? Because he wasn't very accurate.
Well, yeah, I said, you know, I'm glad that you got that off your chest, if that makes you feel
better. Yeah, if he was trying to hit you, and never did, Butch. I guess that's why he was at first base, because he didn't have to throw very often, I guess. So.
And Rich mentioned this earlier, but, you know, so much of our success, I think, came as a result of our feeder system. Our youth league, you know, our little league and Babe Ruth league back then, and he mentioned the coaches that were involved that volunteered and put in a lot of time, and we had so many teams, and there was such great support from those, you know, the coaches, the fans, and the players that, you know, when Rich got a hold of them, you know, some instruction, but still they had a very good basic background of fundamentals and competition.
Well, and that's, I was umpiring back, you know, in those days in youth league in Babe Ruth, yeah. And I remember seeing you guys at the park, by the way, watching kids play. But also what I remember are the coaches who may have been parents of players, but they weren't coaching because their kids That's were right. players. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like somewhere along the way we got, you know, coaches who got to coaching, yeah. I suppose because they couldn't maybe get anybody else, and coaches start coaching because their kids are playing. But these coaches were into it, you know, the Fred Boyers and the Buck Fries and you know, the
John Conrad.
Dave Kinders, yeah. and the Dave Longs and
Ron Nazarene.
Ron Nazarene.
They deserve so much credit,
yeah,
those
they were,
coaches.
Yeah. They were coaching
their time
because
great.
They knew the game, they loved right. the game. Yeah. They weren't coaching because they had yeah. kids playing. And it did make a difference, because they were coaching the game, not coaching their kids.
Yeah. And you think of the number of teams back then,
yeah.
and the sponsorship. I mean, it was the feeder system. I mean, they just have to get a good pat on the back.
Because there were two divisions of the Little League in those
great.
Days.
It mm-hmm. was great.
Yeah.
And the Babe Ruth.
Babe
I mean,
Ruth
it,
had,
you yeah. know, it just continued up.
And just, I guess, more options for yeah. kids now. You know, numbers are down, and that makes yeah. a difference for success, because numbers, total numbers, yeah. I think, are down. I guess yeah. kids have more options these days. And
right.
And you know, get away from wanting to work at things maybe a little yeah. bit, because it, you know, this stuff doesn't come easy.
Yeah. I want to expand upon Butch's point about the support we got from the youth leagues. I think all three of us here probably have said it before, maybe not enough times, maybe didn't have enough opportunities to, but here's an opportunity for us to thank the community of Logansport. My goodness, when we went to out-of-town games, we'd outnumber the home crowd.
Yeah.
Newcastle was a good example. We'd go to play at Newcastle, and time and again, I know there were as many or more Logansport fans in those bleachers than as there were hometown people.
And even though there hadn't been a state championship since 91, that following is still there. You yeah. still see at away yeah. games, you'll still see a good number of Logansport fans, vocal yeah. Logansport fans. Yeah.
This has always been really a baseball community. It really has. And that's one reason we've received the support that we have. But back to those coaches who spent a lot of time. I go to church with a fellow by the name of Jim Smith. Mm. Jim coached forever mm-hmm. in Little League. And every Sunday morning, what do we talk about? We talk about baseball.
I started coaching in Little League under Jim Smith.
Yeah.
Well, and again, as we wrap things up, we're getting set for Barry's baseball to start this year. And what is good to see is that two of the more premier baseball programs in the state are playing each other. And it seemed like that that couldn't happen for whatever reason for so many years when LaPorte's winning seven state championships and Logan Sports winning four. Just seemed like it, for whatever reason, the two couldn't come together to play each other in the last 2 years now. And again, coming up, the Berries will start their season with a doubleheader against LaPorte. So it's good to see those programs playing each other, you know, and putting those that history out on the field.
Yeah. And let's hope it's a little warmer this year than it was last year.
Well, I think, did they end up canceling the second game last year? Was that, did they end up playing two? Last, did they get
didn't
two
you
in?
Even remember.
I don't remember whether they played two or not. But I don't remember.
And I think we really should be very thankful to the radio station, WSAL, for giving us exposure, because I know a lot of people in Logan Sport and the surrounding communities, they listen, they look forward to our baseball broadcast.
Well, and over the years, again, I've stepped away from it the last couple of years, but over the years, you saw less and less radio coverage from anybody else. You could, you know, Logan Sport, WSAL was one of the few, and now you can probably count on two fingers the number of radio stations that cover high school baseball anymore.
We had some really great guys covering baseball. Vic Tangy, Jim Buck Bender.
Jim Buck Bender, I think, might have been the first broadcaster, but you know, and Vic, Mike Wild comes in there. You know, I had my day, Mike Montgomery. Joe Stetz has done a few games now over the last couple of years. So
we just hope it continues, because it's been, like I said, you know, it's been great for the community.
And everybody appreciates it. And we appreciate you guys getting together. Again, there were questions answered here and things discussed that as long as I've been around and still been close to Berry's baseball that I hadn't heard. So
hey, our memories weren't too bad, were they?
No. This ended up being a longer walk than I thought we were going to have through memory lane. So. And we didn't. It was a situation where we all didn't have to remember everything. As long as we got four of us, as long as one of us remembers something, we could put a story together. So
absolutely.
And I think that's what we've done. Again, Coach Turner, Coach Jones, and Coach Wild, we appreciate the time you've dedicated to Berry's baseball, for one thing, and specifically, and then coming in for our talk of the town to go through some memories and talk about Berry's baseball.
Thank you for asking us.
Yeah, we thank you.
Appreciate your time.
You've done a great job.
All right, play ball.
We'll see you at the ball field.
All right,
that'll do it for this special edition of Talk of the Town, everybody. Thanks for joining us. And again, as Coach Turner says, we'll see you at the baseball field.
Thank you for listening to a special sports edition of Talk of the Town. We'd like to thank Coach Jim Turner, Coach Butch Jones, and Coach Rich Wild, as well as our own Milt Hess, for taking all of us on this trip through the Berry Championship years. We'll see you Saturday for Berry's baseball right here on 1230 WSAL. Go Berry's!